Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one...
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's...
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're a fanatic, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
He's jerk forward. I mean, he's always been kind of jerk forward.
He's emotional.
Jerk forward.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he's emotional.
Emotional. Yeah.
Well, he's got Ben Johnson.
He also wanted like equity in the.
Yeah, that was, you know,
like, that was his dad.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fan. Does that map make map? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
A, you're not a comedian. B, it's not a roast. And you sound like a bitter old lady who's like, oh my God, I was too old.
Pretty good line. Like, it was pretty funny. Yeah.
I was like, I wasn't, if I was there, I'd have been like cringeworthy. I would say the majority of people would find it to be classless.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson.
Have become this kind of tandem.
Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
Those touch tanks are supposed to be very safe. Those are for little kids to put their arms in.
Look at the size of that thing. Do you think they say to the octopus, hey, we're going to have some kids pet you today?
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Don't put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
I feel like she should have resigned on a cocktail napkin. That would have been classy.
Oh, but that's different though. Classless.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. It's my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
Good morning.
I can't do another day of Wiggy diminishing female reporters and writers.
Classless.
Curtis, can you help me? I spent normally first 10 minutes in here before the show, we should be prepping and talking about what's... All I hear is Wiggy talking about trying to figure out what the name of every female who's ever worked in sports on the journalism side of things is and what their value is.
Well, at least they know them. The Mary Kate Cabot lady, I had no clue who the hell
he's
this lady is.
He's still on it. We're sitting here. He's like talking under his breath.
Classless.
He is talking under his breath.
Be the... what's her name? Lisa Cohen from ESPN. At least I know her.
Lisa Cohen? Linda Cohn?
Aaron Andrews, you
yes,
brought up.
Aaron Andrews, I know.
Yeah.
Wendy Nix.
Wendy Nix.
Who's the little...
Lisa Salters.
Yes, but who's the little short Italian lady that always...
Maria Hannah Storms?
Huh?
Hannah Storms.
No, she's on ESPN.
Oh, Hannah Storms.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Diana Russini.
Yes, yes. At least I know these people.
Now, huh?
Okay.
Wiggy's like your grandfather.
Mary Kay Cabot. It's like, who the hell is that?
Wiggy's like your grandfather who can't remember anything today but knows what he ate for lunch 40 years ago with
correct.
Wendy Nix.
And he's still wildly upset that someone made a joke about Bill Belichick.
Who holds a grudge more, Wiggy or that guy whose order was wrong yesterday in the fast food race?
It's still the guy with the order. Well, we had a lot to get to on today's show. Curtis, are we still dealing with the Canadian wildfire pollution, which is rotting our lungs? Is that what's going on out there? Because it's hazy.
Well, it is no joke. I had my father-in-law like fainted yesterday.
Oh, man.
And last night I did my going for back-to-back sick brag bros of the week with the Jones and Keefe show, a jog, and I felt totally gassed.
Really?
Like it was brutal. Usually out by Castle Island, no matter the weather, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But yesterday, it was like this thick, Hayes. I haven't checked the latest modeling, but I think it's still around. It feels kind of gross out there.
How's the air quality, though? You got to be careful about that with your lungs.
It was 132, which is really bad.
All right. I mean, I feel like there's not an issue with Curtis's lungs. It's more like up in the head area.
Okay, we're at moderate this morning, so we're okay.
All right. Air quality's good, huh?
Yeah, well, it says worse than yesterday, so...
I don't think I ever heard anybody go, hey, how's the air quality out there today?
Well, I always check it.
Air quality may be a C, but Red Sox baseball quality is an A. Let me tell you that. Yeah, so, Red Sox now officially on a 6-game heater after an 8-5 win last night.
Good morning.
At the old ballpark. And
did you guys like that when it went to 5-0, Ken got the word that Sam was coming in Thursday?
Yes. Sam Kennedy will be our guest for this week's front office report on Thursday morning. But, yeah, absolute Jaron Duran bomb last night, and they seem to be rolling along. Yeah. Action at the trade deadline or not, the Red Sox seem to be rolling along.
They've got something to prove.
Yeah, they do have something to prove.
Can we make it a comparison from different sports where, Greg, you asked early on, what's the difference this year? Can you see a difference between Mayo and Vrabel? And we've all pointed to the Steph Diggs situation and compared it to Judon.
Yes.
I think it's applicable to look at the Red Sox the last 2 to 3 deadlines and the inaction, followed by public pouting from Cora and the team not playing well. Whereas this year, the deadline was inactive. However, Cora and the organization has rallied behind each other in a way that they hadn't been doing. So maybe the makeup of the team is different.
Yeah.
And you can point to the fact that, you know, Friday morning, everybody's up in arms. Breslow's getting booed. They're hosting the Astros. The Astros fans are all in the stadium, and then you're in the extra innings on Friday night. You find a way to win it, and you haven't lost.
Is it possible that the optimism of youth is, infectious, and that those guys don't know enough to worry about trade deadlines, or am I overestimating the value of the Roman Anthony and the young guys?
I don't mention his name.
I know. Is that a jinx on this show? Why?
Because I still can't believe you threw him under the bus.
What's throwing a single man who is absolutely the king of the city under the bus for walking around with a beautiful woman? Like,
single,
what?
To our knowledge, people listen to the show. Who knows if he's... And then what if he's dating multiple people and another woman hears it and she's like, I wasn't with him in the seaport on Saturday morning.
See, I feel like you're throwing him under the bus.
Oh, no. I would have said, oh, I saw Roman Anthony in the seaport getting coffee.
If I see Roman Anthony with an absolute rocket,
right?
Why would I not report that to the people? The man is enjoying his time as he should,
right?
As a Major League Baseball player.
Well, I mean, it's only two ways to go. If he's got somebody and he's out in the seaport, you know, strolling around with a rocket, A, he don't care, or B, he's a PIMP,
right?
And he's like, "Yo, I'm a player. I'm out here. You know, I ain't got nothing tied down to. Good for him."
But that doesn't seem like it's going to be a serious thing, Curtis. Does it with him?
I mean, I don't think so. But lower back strains in baseball are not
hips,
good. To
you know,
have.
Maybe he had a long night. Now that goes.
God,
might be a hip issue.
The way he was swinging them hips, it's like, all right, we got to loosen that back up.
It's got great rotation.
You know, hey, you go to Nantucket with all them. All them things, man. You got to take it easy.
What was his exit velo?
Yeah, probably pretty good. Might have to take a night off. Yeah.
Well, listen, that particular jinx is not on me. Bringing somebody up in random conversation.
You know. And you said
you saw him, just like when you see Tom Petty.
Yeah, that is true. Although we really just kind of passed, no interaction. So we really just kind of, he was coming out of Blue Bottle. I was walking by with Bullet. And we kind of gave the old, you know, the nod, you know. It was kind of like the, what's that story about the old bull and the young bull, Curtis, standing at the top of the hill? Do you know that one?
I don't.
You don't know that one? Well, yeah.
You're a bull now, huh?
There's an old, Courtney, there's an old bull and a young bull.
Okay.
And they are standing at the top of the hill, and they are looking down at a bunch of beautiful, attractive cows. And the young bull says, let's run down that hill and mate with a cow.
Yep.
And the old bull says, nope, let's walk down the hill and mate with all of the cows.
Yes.
So, you know, that is the approach of youth versus the veterans.
The wisdom. I call bull.
All wisdom.
The wisdom.
You didn't walk by and say, like, hey, Roman friend of Leah, tell her I said hi, Greg Hill.
No, I did not want to bring up Leah because that could be a whole other thing. Maybe he doesn't like Leah being on this radio show.
No, I think he liked it.
I was very strategic about that. Mm-hmm. I thought about it, but then I didn't want to say anything about it.
Greg's kind of being shy. Roman Anthony's lady was showing a lot of interest in Greg and trying to get away from Roman. And he said, taken. Don't. No. I got DMs.
All right. Well,
good for Roman. Keep it up, brother.
Yes, absolutely. And good for the Red Sox. So
keep it up.
Yep. What are you? I mean, if he's single and he's out there married,
right.
Keep
why
it
not?
Up.
I don't know if you meant in the bed.
Why not?
And I'm sorry for them, Roman.
But anyway, I remain encouraged by this Red Sox team.
Sick.
And so it is you're wondering what's going to happen in August. Is it going to happen the way that it's happened the last couple Augusts? And maybe not so much this go round. So that is good news, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We will get to our leads coming up in about 10 minutes, and then they set it at 7:20 this morning. We will hear what Keon White said about Will Campbell, and that perhaps may assuage any concerns that my guy, Coach Wiggins, has about Will Campbell. And the rest of they said it at 7:20 as well this morning. The news with Courtney at 7:45. And that includes what are we doing with Curtis and why some are horrified by what a zoo in Denmark wants to feed their animals. So that is coming up during the news at 7:45.
And you won't believe it. Let me just say that. Won't believe it. You won't believe it.
Okay.
I was audibly gasping going through this.
Well, you're an empath.
So you're an empath. Beyond.
Okay. And then one of Karen Reed's attorneys, Alan Jackson, will join us at 8:20. On this show this morning, and there seems to be a lot going on with that case, and I think Alan Jackson, who will join us at 8:20, may have some updates on interesting things of note when it comes to that case, which this region and a good part of the country was obsessed with.
Yeah, you guys were.
For quite some time. So all of that coming up on the show today, and as always, we are going to play the best Hill Notes back at 9:20 this morning. So leave one of those now or anytime this morning on the Odyssey app. And just a heads up on the Odyssey app, that is yet another way that you can listen to this show. So we have radio stations all over New England that we have assembled for you. You can stream this show at weei.com. You can listen to this show on Spotify. You can download the Odyssey app or the iHeart app and listen to this show there at any time, whenever is convenient for you. That is what is first and foremost on our mind is your convenience. So,
can I say a quick, very brief tease for my lead because it's going to catch people off guard?
Yes.
Not a positive Brady take.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I am engulfed with just inner turmoil after watching the Amazon Birmingham Football Club docuseries.
Yes.
Some of it I haven't gotten all the way through it.
Right. How many episodes are you in?
Just two.
Okay.
But
I'm right about the same. I may have gotten through three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah.
That's his soccer team?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you watched any of it?
No.
Okay. I saw one clip that it was intriguing.
I can't wait to hear your lead now, Curtis.
Yeah.
All right. Curtis lead, Shime lead, Wiggy lead, Courtney lead, my lead. All of it coming up on today's show. To get us started, here is Courtney with what is trending first thing this morning.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox took the first in their series with the Royals. 8-5 was the final at Fenway after the Sox jumped out to a 5-0 start after the first inning. A strong eighth inning from KC where they scored four runs, but it wasn't enough. The Sox could hold on to win it. Brian Bayo went six innings, not giving up a single run on six hits while striking out five. Now, Roman Anthony was a late scratch. Alex Cora says it was due to a tight back. He will not play tonight either. The score brought to you by Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. Another one with the Royals tonight. 7:10 first pitch from Fenway with Garrett Crochet taking the mound. Brooksy joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Over to the Pats, who had a practice yesterday. A scary moment when defensive coordinator Terrell Williams was treated for dehydration. He left midway through practice with the help of the medical staff. Obviously, that's scary because he had some issues going into preseason. Other things of note, Travion Henderson had a good day with multiple catches. Vidarian Lowe returned.
Wiggy, that's your guy. I mean, you've been all over Travion Henderson.
Yeah.
And about how much time. You and Shime.
Yeah, I mean, like Shime. I liked him at Ohio State, so he's
my boy right there. Yeah.
Josh McDaniels loves those running backs, too, that can, you know, be explosive in not only the run game but in the passing game. And, you know, he did a lot of good things for Ohio State.
He is going to be a problem for other teams in that he is a matchup nightmare against linebackers. If the Patriots, if McDaniels plays it right, he is, and he gets him matched up on a linebacker in space, Henderson's going to win 9 times out of 10.
Vidarian Lowe returned to the field, signaling he will be coming off the PUP list. And Mike Vrabel said that Kendrick Bourne got rolled up on Friday. He's not expected to see him this week. Mm-hmm. Christian Gonzalez and Carlton Davis aren't expected to practice today or against Washington on Wednesday.
I read a story from Volan, so take it for what it's worth. But Carlton Davis has been almost non-existent.
He's been hurt, right?
According to Volan, maybe it was a guy at Barstool, I don't know. But according to Volan, he said that he was one of few players that didn't pass the conditioning test.
Oh.
Which is not good considering he just got a boatload of money. And he had, like, I think $1 million or $750,000 coming to him if he went to, like, 25 of the 35 offseason and he didn't show up. Huh. Which is just, I don't know, not a great start.
Some guys don't want that money, like Travion Diggs in Dallas, $500K. He was like, yeah, I'm not showing up for the offseason. I'll work out with my own guy.
Well, that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Shaw's and Star Market have lowered hundreds of prices on the items you buy most, like boneless chicken breasts, snacks, cereal, and so much more. See full saving claim details at shaws.com/lowerprices and starmarket.com/lowerprices. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. That's what's trending.
No mention of our Braintree Little Leaguers
who are
one win away from Cooperstown.
Classless.
Williamstown. Yeah. As Coopersville.
Yeah.
I knew you would bring it up. I didn't know if it was your lead. The hopes and dreams of an entire region.
Yes.
Sit on the shoulders of our Little Leaguers. So good luck. They have to win one more, right? Am I correct about that?
Yeah. Yes.
And then they're off to Williamsburg, Virginia. All right. That is Curtis. Is I'm just kidding, bud. You don't have to look at him every time. I'm just joking. All right, let's get to what is trending coming up next. Great song, Sean. Nice choice to start this morning.
Thank you. That's a dedication to our Red Sox.
Whatever happened to B.O.B., Wiggy? Dropped right off the map.
Yeah, he's a one-hitter. One-hitter quitter.
He had
Magic. That song popped off a little bit.
Not really.
Which one was that?
There was no pop in that.
Yeah, I mean, it was
pretty poppy.
No, was no pop.
Yeah, it was like, it was that one.
Yeah,
zero casual pop. $221 million on Spotify.
You got to have, like, in hip-hop, man, you got to have a catchy hook. Mm-hmm. You got to have a catchy hook and multiple catchy hooks.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a catchy hook around here, and it is the weather forecast, and we should open up the Window World of Boston weather window for Curtis, please. Curtis, what do you see out there today?
Cloudy right now, but much cooler than yesterday. Afternoon high, cloudy in 77. Air quality issues continue, but shouldn't be as bad today, according to the forecast. Worse in Connecticut and other New England states.
Okay, you could get a whole house full of windows installed for just $99 a month if you go to windowworldofboston.com. Chime, let's get leads going right now, please.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Chime, I believe that is the Romantics and What I Like About You.
Well done today, Greg.
One of the most well-known claps in a rock and roll song of all time.
Can you would you be able to Mount Rushmore the most most noticeable claps in music?
I don't know if what else? That's the one that stands out to
isn't,
me.
Is it Hey Mickey or Hey?
Hey Mickey.
Hey Mickey, you're so fine.
Is there,
is there
clap
there,
like
in that?
A clap in that?
I thought
like
there was a clap
a pronounced
in
clap in that.
What about what about Layla?
I don't think there's one in Layla.
Eric. What's his name?
Eric Clapton.
Thank you.
Clapton.
Curtis, I would say, I know you're going to address it during your lead, but watching the Birmingham series with Tom Brady, the Premier and Champion League and League One, whatever, the cheering that they do for when at the end of the game of the match for the fans is a little bit annoying after you've seen it 1,000 times.
They do that in all sporting events like Wimbledon. That's just this in concerts, like when they fit, they'll do this like odd. I don't know what I don't have any clue what the origin of that is, but it looks so weird.
So they cheer for the fans.
Yeah, but I
kind of like that. They appreciate you coming out to see them.
I don't think they really mean it. Like, it's
is it like the stick tap at the end of the Carolina win?
Yes, it is. It's like the stick tap, but they go around and they do like a clapping thing for the fans, and I don't know.
It's a respect thing.
Meanwhile, in the crowd, people are literally eating each other.
Leads this morning are brought to you by Subaru. With so much to love, don't miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. You can find your authorized Subaru retailer when you visit SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Greg. Good morning. My lead today is a I'm very thankful lead, and we should all be thankful as well, because yesterday the Cleveland Browns signed former Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley to their roster. They now have a selection of quarterbacks that include the likes of Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, and Tyler Huntley. And you know what they say, Greg? If you have five quarterbacks, you have zero quarterbacks. So I just I thank my lucky stars that you actually drafted a guy that you have some hope in and some belief in, and some more than others. And the Cleveland Browns straight up stink. Like, this is going to be quite possibly one of the historically worst teams we will have seen in the NFL probably since the turn of the century. Like, this team is going to be so bad. It's going to be really fun.
What would you guess the Sanders family did with the Shedeur draft room? Like, did they turn that into some kind of a game room or an alternate kitchen downstairs? Or
how many kids do they have?
I think there's several.
Yeah, so they'll keep it for the next.
They're going to keep it for the next one.
Yeah. And they have two girls. Either has one girl or two girls.
I'm not looking to excuse Shedeur, because he certainly didn't act appropriate in many of those pre-draft meetings. But do you think maybe his mind was elsewhere if his dad was really sick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he wasn't as engaged in the pre-draft interview. Not excuse. I mean, I don't know how they all went. I don't think, you know, whatever. But it would seem like a mitigating circumstance.
Well, he's been fine in Cleveland. I mean, he's been the
model. Outside of the quote-unquote shoulder soreness.
But I'm saying he's been the model citizen. He's been a guy that,
aside from the 100.
He drives at an excessive speed sometimes.
But he hasn't complained about his reps or anything.
But to Curtis's point, when all those reports started coming out, that could have been at the time that Dion was getting diagnosed. And they didn't know what the future held. And so, if you're, how old is Shedeur? 18?
He's like 23.
Yeah, okay, 23. Whatever. You're in that age bracket. Like, your mind, it probably is elsewhere if you're worried about your dad.
Yeah, I mean, I just think with the Shedeur, like the whole drafting, we kind of know how that went. It was like, for whatever reason, you know, maybe it was just the NFL and the fact that they didn't want to have to deal with what they thought was going to be, you know, bigger than the team attitude, and, you know, maybe the father situations. All right, is Dion going to be this like shadow looming over our shoulder? I mean, as far as what he's done in Cleveland, he is, you know, I'm just talking about like on the field and, you know, being humble and just grateful for the opportunity. I think, you know, he's gone the right direction in that way.
Oh, they're going to carry 12 quarterbacks.
They got to obviously they're putting their.
They're going to have a different quarterback for every game they play.
They have 12 quarterbacks, but they can't find a single massage therapist. Yeah.
They're putting their money.
Both reps that he got, he's really been. Wiggy wants to, you know, he's been unbelievable, both those reps.
Well, I mean, they're putting their money on Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Like, if you drafted Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, and the reports out of Cleveland about Dylan Gabriel that he's really struggling. I guess it's like, all right, Joe Flacco is the veteran, but
who could have predicted a 5'10" weighs basically nothing lefty quarterback was going to struggle in the NFL?
It's just weird that, like, the, you know, where they are directionally. I mean, how confident do you feel with Flacco as your quarterback? Myles Garrett just signs a new deal. Don't you think you just lean on one of the rookies and see which one can, you know, sink or swim? Because if not, aren't you right back in the quarterback market next year?
Yeah. But if they brought in a guy I'm about to talk about, wouldn't they be potentially, you know, a bubble playoff team?
Oh, well, let's hear the guy you're about to
Tom
talk
Brady. Don't you think he'd be the best quarterback on that team today?
Oh, yeah, hands down.
Yeah, he'd be like a top 10 quarterback in football.
Right.
Still.
Yeah.
And
so, Greg, thanks to a note from you yesterday, I engaged on the Amazon docuseries about the Birmingham Football Club. And I'm watching exactly what Tom's father worried about, which is I'm not worried about when he's playing. I'm really scared about what his life is like when football's over. The timing, speaking of the timing of Shedeur and his dad, the beginning of the docuseries is 2023, November, his first fall without football in the States. And we all remember there was some chaos with his family. And he is, there's no other way to put it, he's just an a-hole to certain people on this show. Like, he's walking into rooms. Remember when the Patriots used to have celebratory locker room videos?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you'd see the players. And then in, like, the right corner, it was, like, Les Moonves, John Kerry, and one of Bob Kraft's buddies. And you could see the players, like, who are these guys? Like, get them out of here. Let's enjoy our locker room. Tom walks in, and he literally doesn't know anything about soccer, which is fine. He shouldn't have to know anything about soccer. But he's, like, explaining to Wayne Rooney, who was the big star in Man United, who was a guy they hired and then fired. And it's like, Wayne Rooney's like, just saying that he thinks they have a good group of guys, they're trying hard. And Tom's like, F you, basically.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think Wayne Rooney, he didn't seem to enjoy his interaction with Tom Brady at all.
But like this is what he's in 60 different ventures right now because he's trying to replicate that feeling where his whole life was consumed with this one thing for 30 years. And now it's just awkward. He walks into a pub and he's on camera and he's explaining how he wants to have it done and over as soon as possible when the purpose of this documentary, I would presume, is to ingratiate himself with the fans of the soccer team.
Yeah, it doesn't come off. I don't think he's I don't know that it captures who he is because I don't think he's an a-hole, but it comes off like when he and also they're going to that pub, Curtis. And he's wearing like a, you know, $12,000 jacket or something.
Right.
And the fans are in their Birmingham blue shirts. And
he had more security than Trump walking in there.
Well, he saw how much success Ryan Reynolds got and all of that. And so he's probably trying to do the same thing. Was that the same clip, Curtis, that I showed you on Friday where he's like in a meeting and Wayne Rooney is up there talking and then Brady's like interjecting and he finally says, do you want to get up here and talk to them? That's all I saw, that one clip, and I said, damn, Brady's like not holding back.
Well, it's probably hard for him to be like, because isn't he like the owner of the team or something?
Minority
like
owner,
So it's probably hard for him to.
But it's soccer.
Yeah, why isn't he putting this energy into the Raiders?
Well, he was. Did you see him out on the field?
He did this before the Raiders. So, correct, Curtis, timing-wise?
He was in pursuit of the Raiders, but it was by no means a done deal. Yeah, right. This is November 23rd.
But haven't you seen him all over Raiders training camp? He's out there. He's got holding bags. He's doing like...
I think he walks into a locker room in the NFL, and immediately everybody is quiet and can't wait to hear what he says. But it's weird with these, you know, these Premier League or whatever league they're in now. Those guys they're just not that interested. I mean, I think they think it's cool to meet him.
But he thinks that, you know, oh, it's a sport. I was the greatest at my sport, even though it's a different sport. Let me give you insight on how things should go. Even though it's, you know, different football than what you guys are playing, he still is at the level of the competitiveness where he's one of those owners that wants to be hands-on, even yeah. though he doesn't know much about the sport.
Yeah, also, I would. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it gives Lindsay the ick when he crosses his legs.
Well, and, I'm right here.
Yeah.
No offense. She said, okay. Don't say that on the radio because Curtis is going to be offended. I like when Curtis does it, but when Tom Brady does it on the show, it gives her the ick.
Right. Well, the other ick that I have is, like, he's talking to people, and it happens in radio. Like, people leave, and then they, like, talk extensively about the old career they had instead of just moving forward. Like, he's talking to Wayne Rooney about how when he arrived at the football stadium, it was dark out. And then at 4:30, it was dark out. Yeah. And he's like, nothing in life mattered unless you're winning. And there's a reason why Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, these guys that are the GOATs or GOAT adjacent, struggle in coaching. It's because what's inherent in them is foreign to 99.9% of the world. Like, Wiggy's very competitive. And he is 1% of 1% of 1% getting to the NFL, winning a Super Bowl. But in the football world, Tom Brady is above all of those insanely competitive people.
Yeah.
And to find that in others and just be part of a sport you have no clue about, Tom Brady the player would laugh out loud at Tom Brady the owner.
Well, they went.
Oh man,
they went in there and almost immediately blew out their coach. Mm-hmm. And then they went on, like, a 7-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got relegated.
And then they got relegated. All and right. So it hasn't – they haven't been that successful yet. But we'll see what happens. We will see. All right, Curtis, excellent lead this morning from you. We are going to get to a lead from Courtney, a lead from Wiggy, and a lead from me coming up next on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI. The Red Sox taking care of business. That is 6 in a row for them after a win last night. And you can talk about that all morning long and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are going to get to They Said It in about a half an hour at 7:20. And we will hear what Keon White said yesterday about Will Campbell. And hopefully that will assuage some of the concern that Wiggy and or Shime may have about Will Campbell. And the rest of They Said It coming up as well then. But we have leads left this morning, including this one from Courtney. Hello, Courtney.
Hello, good morning. We have to talk about the old head sports hardos because they're up in arms.
All right.
ESPN has just announced their latest hire, and it is Katie Feeney, who's a social media influencer, 22 years old. All
right. All right. Katie Feeney?
Katie Feeney.
Okay.
If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, Mitch has some photos of her from her Instagram. She has over 14 million followers between Instagram and TikTok.
All right.
She's very popular. She was a broadcast journalism major at Penn State.
Uh-huh.
She did some work at Penn State when it came to sports broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
And she's done a lot of things since graduating in the spring. This is the way of the times. Like, you have to just get on board. I'm sorry.
Is she doing college football coverage or what?
She'll be doing like some SportsCenter Snapchat. She's going to be on air and on their socials, but she's going to be a sports and lifestyle content creator.
Sports and
for
lifestyle.
ESPN.
How much are they paying her?
I can't find the exact number, okay. But I'm guessing it was pretty high. Now, she's done a Super Bowl. She's covered a Super Bowl. She's gone to the White House. She's done some things at the White House. And she did the Washington. She's from Washington, so she did the Commanders. She was like a.
She's from D.C. Okay.
Yeah, so she did a some type of like content creation with the Commanders last season.
All right.
So people have jumped on board with her. ESPN isn't dumb. Like,
so who's against this?
Right.
What? A lot of people.
Why?
There are comments, like, if you read the Courtney's right. It's old heads who are like, I want pure sports. I want somebody who's
lived in it for 30 years. And like
one comment I saw was ESPN is going to be to sports what MTV is now to music.
Okay. Yeah, or like one I saw somebody say, when my 10-year-old knows who this is and I don't, it's time for me to switch the channel. Mm-hmm. Like if
well,
people,
it probably is.
Well, but that's the thing. ESPN is appealing to a younger audience, and they're doing a good job with this. This woman clearly gets numbers.
Right.
That's why the Commanders have jumped on board with her. That's why she covered the Super Bowl. That's why she went to the White House. People aren't just getting her to get her. So in my mind, like, good for ESPN. Gary Streisky, who was at NESN for a long time, was a Red Sox sideline reporter. He started off at ESPN after NESN with the SportsCenter Snapchat, and it blew him up. Like, that is something that ESPN has put a real focus on.
Is there, like, social media, TikTok, and all that other stuff?
Yeah. And it, you know what? If they're paying her $1 million, it's probably $1 million well spent.
Good for
I
her.
Know she made $1 million off something last spring, so I'm guessing it's over that. Wow. This is the way of the times. It is.
It is.
Well, I mean, she'll, like, I guess they'll introduce her to a new audience, because, like you said, you know, you'd have to really be, you know, balls deep in the TikTok social media world to know who she is.
She's a pretty big one, like 14 million.
I've never heard of her, but, you know,
I'm
not
TikTok
in that
all the time. I have never heard of her.
Yeah, either. I'm not in, but she's in a different demo. So, you know, like, I've heard of like Kai Cenat and, you know, Mr. Beast. But I get what ESPN.
Those are more YouTubers.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going, what they're doing is they're taking the social media people who have these platforms, and then they're bringing them to kind of mainstream networks.
As they should. And you know what? Good for this girl, because she knows that she's going to get that type of backlash. So she's taking an opportunity and she's running with it.
Yeah.
So
if I were ESPN, I'd see the reaction and I'd say, wow, we made the right hire if these old people don't like it.
So basically, they're going to have ESPN is going to have Pat McAfee at $50 million a year, Stephen A. Smith at $50 million a year, and then a bunch of influencers.
Yeah, because they're probably not paying them nearly what, you know, because you think about ESPN.
They're probably paying them pretty well.
But not like they were paying Shannon Sharpe, so they moved on from him.
So some people are saying, like, you fired real talent, and now you're bringing in these random people. That's what people are.
And isn't ESPN, doesn't like Chad Ochocinco now do some spots on ESPN? So
they saved that Shannon money.
Yeah, so they're probably like trying to figure out, but, you know.
They're adding Bonnie Blue to College Game Day. Like, it's gonna be really,
Is Bonnie Blue replacing Corso?
I just saw somewhere that there's a Bonnie Blue documentary.
Oh, really?
I kind of want to watch.
You do?
Well, just to learn
more. All of her videos on OnlyFans.
Right. It's 100 1-minute episodes.
Oh, I doubt it's a minute.
No, definitely not a minute.
No, she's, you're getting
short form content.
Well, one person might be a minute, but.
All right.
We'll keep an eye on her.
Very interesting lead, Courtney. Thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right. Good morning. So the Red Sox, I think the question is, all right, what do they need to do that is different what we've seen in years past? And I'll just break it down to people real quickly so they have an understanding of what the Red Sox have been these last 3 years since they made the postseason in 2021. Second half of the season, 2022, the Red Sox were they were 9 games under 500 post All-Star break.
Okay.
2023, 11 games under 500. And 2024, 10 games under 500. You, Alex Cora, and this year's Boston Red Sox team, right now, they are 4-0. But here is where they've fallen apart with their seasons, the second half of the seasons. You have to have a legit situation where I think maybe you go 7, 8, 10 games above 500 post-All-Star break should be able to lock you in to the postseason. And that's the thing with Alex Cora and his teams. He has to be different than what he's been these past 3 years when we talk about not just August, but the second half of the season. You cannot have second half of the seasons where you are 9, 10, 11 games under 500. You finish the season like that. So right now, they're in a good position, but if you're a Red Sox fan and you're a diehard or you're watching this team, the expectations are, hey, Alex, you got to make sure your team is a team that is, you know, well above 500, so you'll have an opportunity to get into the postseason and have a chance to, you know, play for a championship. But that's the one thing I think that people. They ask about what goes on. I don't know what the hell it is that goes on in post All-Star break, but this is what they
are. I think around here, certainly, it has been post All-Star, really post deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Cora has been disappointed that the team didn't do anything. Would you agree with that, Curtis?
I would say that, but why do they play well pre All-Star break, where they're
because they think they're going to add.
Right, because they're thinking that they're going to add.
So then when they don't add, they throw the towel in?
Right. Yeah. That's what I was saying at the start of the show, that in years past, Cora has pouted, especially after the Vasquez trade and other moments, and the team sort of followed suit. This year, they have rallied behind the manager, who was there, I guess, in the room, according to everybody that's covered it. Bradfo reported that. So
it's really not the fact that they didn't add. It's the fact that they didn't take a positive look going into the second half of the or after the trade deadline.
I just think this team is also more talented. Like, they didn't have a Roman Anthony last year. They didn't have Giolito pitching the way he's been. Brian Bello's been much better.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think that's the biggest reason what we've seen, you know, at least through the first, you know, four games after the trade deadline this year versus what we've seen last year. The talent that they do have is much better, and especially the pitchers are consistently, you know, been able to give you some good innings. So
508 text on the Subaru of New England text line: is it just me, or has Wiggy done this same lead for 3 years?
Well, I probably have in some form of fashion.
Yeah, maybe,
you know, dust
maybe
it off.
Maybe in some dust it
off.
I
mean, the audience run changes every 15 minutes. Yeah, yeah. That's the way I look at it.
Think about every 365 days.
Yeah. You're right about that.
You know, nothing wrong with that.
All right, I'm between two leads.
Ooh. You should do one about the team's performance after the deadline.
28 times.
No, that's my wheelhouse. Let him stay in his lane. Yeah, that's my lane.
Stay in your lane.
One is a douche move rule on what happened in a local parking lot. And then the other is an apology to gamers and the youngs like Shime over the sarcasm that I have directed toward them at times about what they're doing with their lives.
Oh, I'd like that.
I like the parking lot one, but it's really...
You like the parking lot one?
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Okay.
All right, well, maybe we'll have time for both. So we will be right back.